Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
This episode of An Unexpected Podcast is dedicated to Lucas James Kirk.
We love you.
Hello, friends, and welcome to An Unexpected Podcast. I'm Uncle Ez.
And I'm Uncle Lane.
Let's
officially,
go.
Baby.
Let's officially. Go. Dude, how's
I'm
that feel?
Uncle to a baby Kirk. It feels weird, man. I've actually been thinking about this. I've been processing this because I was thinking about that. I'm like, he has been uncle. I don't know why. Sometimes just circular thoughts float in my brain. It's probably because I'm so dumb and stupid that like they just kind of they don't have nowhere to go, and so it's just like it's like a toilet bowl. It's like wee, it's just
round and round filth, they go.
The filth of Smith. And I was just thinking, like, my kids have only ever known you as Uncle Ez.
Yeah,
like they don't call you Ezra. They don't call you Ez.
They did
it's
last time
word.
I was down there. Those little
did?
Oh, bro. They also
they're
said,
grounded. They're grounded.
Though they
for a
actually,
week.
You know what they said? They're like, they're like, do you know what our mom's name is?
they like, love doing that stuff.
Oh
dude.
Man, they're like, do you know what our dad's name is? I was like, yes. What is it? And they were like, Lane. And I was like,
oh so funny.
Really? It was so funny. And they're like, yeah, your name's Ezra. And I was like, how do you guys know that? So it was so funny because it was like the last time they got in that little kick of like saying everyone's full name, you know. This is the first time though. That was the first time ever, and I was like, "Dang!" You know?
That was,
so yeah,
that,
it kind of shocked me. I'm like, "Yeah, I'm Uncle Ez. I've always been Uncle Ez."
Yes. It's almost one word. The E just runs into it. It's Uncle Ez. It's one word.
It
which
you're
is
right,
crazy.
Dude. That double E right there. Wow.
Yeah. And they've been talking all about, I mean, for weeks. As soon as they found out that you and Lottie were having a baby, they were like, when's the baby going to be here? So for like, you know, 9 months, they've been, well, not 9 months, but you know, seven, whatever it is. They're like, when's the baby coming? And so here lately they've said, has Aunt Lottie had her baby yet? Has Aunt Lottie had the baby? And they keep asking about Lucas. And they're amped, dude. They're ready. And so, yes, I thought about that. I'm like, this is so, I don't know. It just feels like now it's like the shoes on the other foot now.
Yeah.
Right? It was on you for a long time. And now and I'm just like, dang, dude. I was like,
Uncle Lane, dude.
Well, there's a lot of pressure. I'm older.
Yeah.
I'm not as much fun as I used to be. But in a lot of ways, I'm more fun than I used to be. And so I'm just like, I feel like I want to, like, I have to earn that name too.
Yeah. Yeah,
I have to earn that Uncle Lane. Like he's got to want to call me. Like my kids want to call you Uncle Ez. You know?
Oh yeah, yeah. But I mean, again,
but I'm kind of scared. What if I'm a failure, dude? What if I'm a failure? And he's just like your friend Lane. What if that's what I become?
Oh my god!
And I'm kind of nervous. I think I'm more nervous for your kid than it was for my own crotch fruit, dude.
By the way, yeah. The never ending crotch fruit is the name of this new is the podcast. It's the unexpected crotch fruit podcast from here on out. Because like,
dude, I wanted to ask you, I wanted to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
Do you care if one of the LEP shirts is the return of the crotch fruit 2025?
Please. Okay. Oh my god, I would be honored. Because like I remember when we
in
first
the font,
got that.
In the Return of the King font too.
Yeah.
The return of the crotch.
Please.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I remember when we first got that review and I thought like you were gonna be really mad about it. And you just I was like, this is like brand new in the podcast. So like, you know, Winnie was born to start the podcast. And like Lane, it was the funniest thing. I was like,
dude,
you would have thought one of our best friends wrote that. Cause I was like, that is hilarious.
I still don't know who it was to this day. It was some girl who came in and dropped a comment and then got the heck out. Probably listen to the Tolkien professor, honestly.
Right. I came here for the Tolkien, not the crotch fruit or something like that. I don't know what she said. It's probably still up on the on the reviews. But yeah, it was like thank you for leaving, because this podcast is all about the crotch fruit. Always has been. And
thank you for giving the gift. You left. You gave us a gift and you departed, and it was perfect.
But yeah, no, please make that shirt. And it's so much fun. And dude, it comes down to we're brothers. I was talking about this before we started. It's like there's a freaking brotherhood here. And that is why other shows, I hate to say this, I hate to toot our own horn here, but you're just not going to get what you got here anywhere else. You're just not.
Yeah.
I wish you would. Oh, actually,
can't do it, baby. Unless Seth you're actual brothers, then yeah, maybe. But Seth and Sam.
Seth is like, hold on a second. Wait a second. You guys do know we're actually brothers. Oh, just kidding. So that is the other place that you could potentially find it in Tolkien.
Potentially.
Oh,
but
man.
we still think we're pretty, because we're not actually blood. So we chose each other.
Well, we
there's that
chosen
element too.
Chosen.
It's kind of like married bros. We're sort of like married bros.
Yeah,
is that
are
the weirdest thing we've ever said on
here?
I think so. Not only Mario brothers, married bros.
Yeah. I this is how people
super
would know.
Married bros.
Super married bros. Oh my God. That's a new handle. That's a new handle. We're going to start posting content, just me and you, under the name at Super Married Bros.
Super Married
Watch
Bros.
Somebody makes this account. And they start posting, like, they start editing pictures of me and you together and stuff.
Gosh, dude, like, doing dishes.
Why are we,
buying.
Why do we do this to ourselves? Why do we set ourselves up for failure like this? It's just
I don't know.
Crazy.
No script. That's why we're unedited and no script.
Raw. Just absolutely raw, guys.
But how are you feeling? Because this is going to be released. Yeah. You said you're going to get this ready to go and click release on Lucas's birth date. How are you feeling? You know, you said something about like getting ready, you know, and it's like you're never really ready though, and that's that's the best part. Like you're never really ready, and that means you're actually ready. I don't know, it's weird, but how are you feeling as a dad?
Feeling good. Actually, feeling great. Yeah. The other day, hopefully the dads will get a kick out of this. I was on the couch and I looked at him and he's getting close. Mommy's sort of like wanting him to come out. And I just looked down at him very sternly and I said, "Look, Luke. You either come out soon or daddy's coming in there after you, okay?" And I said, listen. And I just started laughing. And I you know, it's like, man, dude, come on. Today is his due day. So Lottie said, like, well, wait, you know, she's German, right? And in German culture, it's sort of like you never say happy birthday to somebody before their birthday. Not ever.
Ooh.
Don't you dare.
Ooh.
It's like you don't have a birthday weekend beforehand. It's just like, no. It's not until your birthday. So if it's on Tuesday, we're not celebrating on Sunday or whatever. It has to already have been there. Maybe you could go the weekend after. But they're very much about, like, it's D-day. Just almost bad luck. Almost bad luck. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So she was like, well, he's, you know, half German. And so he knows his birthday or his due date. His due date is today. So he's not going to come until then. He was just flat out like, Germans are just that. It's the rule. Hey, they said
he's
this is my due date. I'm not coming until after. So you know,
he's gonna favor his mother. Apparently,
yeah, you know? He is,
and that's a good thing.
That's a very
Mama's
good
boy
thing.
Is a yes.
I saw a picture of they did that 3D imaging of his face or whatever, and I looked at his cute little nose and I said, thank God he's got his mother's nose. Like what else?
I love your nose though. Okay, jeez.
No, I mean, Lottie just has, I mean, I have a great nose. Thank you very much.
She does
much.
Have a great nose, though.
Got a good sniffer, but she has such a good nose, you know? It's just like, what's a guy supposed
to
do? So
I know.
It's why
nose
I married
is an
her.
Important thing.
It's why I married her. I married her for her nose.
Because of her nose?
Yeah. Her sniffer.
Are you shitting me right now?
No, straight up for her sniffer.
Dude, okay, I'm only saying this because there's a line in episode 3 for Concerning Hobbits. That's literally Ban is talking about his wife. He's talking to Bregond about Gisela back home.
Yeah.
And he said her nose is something else.
Wow. It's a thing.
And that's what he fixates on. There's a little bit of Ezra Kirk in that character. That's crazy.
It's a Hobbit thing, dude. You know?
Must be. I mean, just going after the nose.
The sniffer.
Well, sniffing is very important. We know that. And so.
Right. Never forget
that
it.
Makes sense.
Never
well,
forget
I'm proud of you, dude. And I can't wait to watch you be a dad. I mean, I've seen you be an uncle and. Yeah. I've seen you be a friend, and you know, I've seen you bartend occasionally. I've seen
let's go.
Saw you strip impromptu at a party at a function
right at your house in that orange chair back there. To be honest with you,
I know. I know, and I don't think you knew we were home, but anyway, it was
right.
Yeah, but I've seen you do a lot of different things in all seriousness, and yeah, you're gonna be the best dad, dude. So I can't wait to witness it. I am nervous about being Uncle Lane. Like, I hope I can live up to the reputation that you've set. Thanks a lot, bro. It's pretty high. High bar. But I love that kid, man, you know, forever.
It's our brotherhood. So. It's our brotherhood, dude. It is, he's just gonna be he's a part of the family, and it's just gonna be cool. I mean, that's the other thing too. Like, LAP3 is coming up, and so he's going to be here for that, you know. I'm just all the things that I haven't thought about yet that he's going to be here for, and that we're going to experience together in fun times, the spring, the summer. It's just
building that droid in the garage, you know.
Oh my god, I cannot wait for that kind of stuff. I've already got like cosplay, little costumes picked out for Star Wars Celebration. Different like, he's giving me my little Padawan. I'm gonna make him grow out like a little Padawan braid and everything.
Oh heck yeah!
You know what I'm saying? That's like,
he could almost be your little Grogu while he's small enough.
Oh yeah, for sure. He's definitely gonna be in an Ewok costume. I'm definitely gonna put him make him a little Ewok too. You know,
Twicket. Yeah, is it Twicket him? Wicket.
Yeah. Wicket.
Spicket.
Wicket.
What's the guy's name?
Wicket. Yeah. Wicket. Yep.
I knew that.
Spicket. Wicket. Yeah. So yeah, it's gonna be exciting, dude. It's like, it's just right here. So as we record this, full disclosure, I was texting Lane this last couple weeks or whatever, and he kind of knows coming up on the due date. So like, hey, could have been any time, right? And I said, you know what, this little guy is just not coming out. So I said, let's just force the issue here and let's just record some episodes. See if we can't, you know,
summon him.
Because I know he doesn't, like, he's wondering where I'm at right now upstairs. Like, sort of like, okay, Dad, I don't hear him. Mommy's going to sleep right now, you know, so.
Now's when I make my move. It's the due date, so I'm in the clear.
Yep, and he can make his move. So,
dang, I'm dude. Just, I mean, and I know. I literally thought to myself, because you were like, hey, you want to record this week? And might as well, since he's not doing anything yet. He has not, you know, pushing his way out. And I was like, I thought to myself, I'm like, man, if we do record, maybe that would be like the, because I remember that, sitting around and waiting, and you're like, it's just never going to. And as soon as you stop waiting is when it always happens.
When it happens, yeah. So it's like, well, maybe if I stop waiting, he's going to do so. So we'll see. Tonight might be the night, man. Like, I'm going to try to get more done here.
I know.
I hope so. I know it's during the episode. I hope you get the phone call. I told Lottie, I'm like, just call me. I'm downstairs. Like, you know, let me know. Yeah. And we'll just hit the asphalt, and we'll get there. It is crazy. It's a crazy time. I'm still so fired up. You know, I think the coolest thing is just, and you can tell me if I'm wrong about this, or, you know, kind of maybe how you and Sarah do it, but I'm just thinking, he's just coming along for the ride, buddy. We have, life is good. I'm so happy, and I'm with the love of my life, my soulmate. Yep. And so it's just like, I just want him to come on in here, be loved, and be himself. And then just, we're going to be ourselves and just, I don't know, go right on into this wonderful world together, and I'm just so excited. So
it's a party. It's a, I don't know, like my family, they're my best friends, and it really is, it is the best thing, and you just become so close. I think I was telling you, I can't remember, when I was just like, you know, I thought that like I couldn't be closer to anyone than I am Sarah, and then we had kids.
Right.
And I think I was talking about when my papa passed away. My mom was there.
Yeah.
And I just thought, I don't know, there was something so beautiful about that. I mean, his own wife wasn't with, my grandmother wasn't there, you know, and just because of the way it happened, she wasn't there. And I thought to myself, I think, if one of the girls was with me, if Vigo was with me, I don't think I'd need anyone else.
Yeah.
You know, because you're not guaranteed that your spouse is, I mean, you're not guaranteed your kids are going to be there either, but you're definitely not guaranteed your spouse will be with you there when you go. And like, the thought of going on your own is kind of scary, right? I mean, that's kind of, I think everyone's biggest fear is like dying alone. I think you still, there's a way to be okay. But at the same time, there would probably be nothing more comforting than one of your kids being there with you. And that kind of a bond, dude, is just, it's unbelievable. I find myself, I know a lot of people who really get into, like, I don't know, the ideology of parenting would probably say I'm a nutcase or something, but I know our job as parents is to impart this knowledge and wisdom and whatever, but I have found so many times that my kids are the ones teaching me. I'm like, sure. I feel better because of, I mean, I think it's the same thing with teaching, right? When you start listening to too many adults and colleagues, oh, and you get real screwed up. It's when you connect with the kids and you listen to them.
Yeah.
But balance it with, you know, I have a little bit to offer too. You know, I've been around a while.
Yeah. But no.
But it's the best. Yeah. They do. I mean, like, geez, like, here's a small thing. Winnie, when I use language I shouldn't use, corrects me.
Good.
And she doesn't use that language. Talk about a flip-flop, dude. When I was a kid, I was watching Mr. Rogers saying, what the hell is he doing? And my parents were mortified. Like, where have you heard that language? Well, I watched Back to the Future when I was four, Mom, so that's probably part of it. But, like, flip-flop, anytime I go, oh, my God, when he goes, Dad, oh, my gosh.
Wow.
And I, dude, legit, without any kind of resentment or anything, I go, yep, you're right. I'm sorry. Oh, my gosh. You're right. Mm-hmm. And it's just like that kind of stuff. I'm like,
isn't that great? Man, it's actually great.
Dude, it is amazing. Yeah. And just, I don't know, the excitement for life they have. So,
well, one of the things to quote from like Master Yoda here, are you ready for this? It's like,
let's go.
I loved this when he said this. He said, we are what they grow beyond.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I think people
that's from Last
think,
Jedi, isn't it?
Yeah. Actually, amazing. Okay. Yeah, I know. Right. Like, amazing quote.
One of my favorites.
But it's like, it's so simple and it makes so much sense, right? Is that like, yes, that's sort of the whole point. It's not about like, oh yeah, we know everything we are. It's just, no, we're it's a learning experience all the way to the end. Mm-hmm. And we are just here to, you know, so I don't know. I'm really excited for that. I can't wait to just have him here. And I just want to kiss him. Just want to pinch his little cheeks and just say, listen here, you little, so cute. But
yeah, dude.
I know it's gonna be fun. So there's the crotch fruit talk, friends.
Baby.
Had to get it in. Love it, and so excited. So and thanks, by the way, everybody who reached out and was like wishing me well and wishing Lottie well and stuff. That was super kind of you guys. A few times we talked about it and announced it. It was really nice, of you guys. Appreciate you guys so much. You guys are like family. I mean, I always I call. I mean, Lane knows this. He's my brother, but like by extension, you guys are like. You guys are family. It's like really, this podcast has turned into so much more than I ever thought it would. So,
Have you ever thought about too, like how many conversations that we've had and we've forgotten that people have listened to?
For sure. Yeah.
And it's
for
just
sure.
Like, that's a really cool thing too, where we, I mean, by virtue, I think more people probably know us than we know them, but when we have had opportunities where we've met people that for the first time and they've listened to us on the podcast, it's a real cool shorthand. Where I feel like they, you know, they know us and it makes us feel kind of comfortable. And so it is like a weird kind of, not weird. It is kind of weird. I mean, this never happened in any other point in history before, right? It's definitely a type of familial bond that we have. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah.
Well, it's cool. And you can see it in Concerning Hobbits. You can see it in all the productive people meeting over there and talking and knowing each other and bonding and finding friends. It's just freaking, it's freaking cool.
Pretty cool, man.
We're blessed. Yeah. We honestly are blessed. And so it's,
yes, we are. Sir.
It's good. Speaking of all of that fandom community, family, all that kind of stuff. Some exciting news here for LAP3 today. We're going to be talking about, if you saw the title of the episode, we're going to be talking about the Hunt for Gollum, different things. But before we jump into that for our own little local, group here, we have LAP3 coming up on, is it the 20th? 20th.
Thank you very much. September
20th.
The only reason it's dug into my brain is, remember we talked about this, my master's program, the capstone, is that next day. So I'm going to have to get like a couple weeks ahead, which I think I'll be able to. But so it's
if you need me to write
Friday,
some papers, let me know. Like, what is working out?
Can you imagine? That's an event at LEP. Hey, finish Lane's assignment.
Yeah, right. Here you go. Anything you
just
want,
whoever
write it
has
down.
Whoever has the best one, we'll buy whatever box set you want from Paragraphs. No problem.
Yeah.
So I would do that in a heartbeat. No, that's unethical. Friday, shame, September 19th, we're going to hang out. We're going to have dinner. We're going to be in Mount Vernon in the North Farthing. And then Saturday, the 20th, is the day of the party, which we're going to talk about. We're going to be very cryptic because nothing is set in stone yet. But
some exciting
stuff.
This.
It's growing. Yeah. Growing. It's growing in ways we hadn't really anticipated, but in very exciting ways. And and then Sunday we'll have breakfast or second breakfast and kind of say farewell until hopefully the following year. Like, especially if this growth kind of happens that we're, again, referring to very like, tongue in cheek. It could be something that is sustainable that wouldn't necessarily just rely on us, or would help kind of take some of the, all of the responsibility off of us. And could be something that happens every year in Mount Vernon, and would be, could be what we always kind of dreamed it would be, you know, of being like an annual thing. So
yeah, it's really exciting stuff. So I'm gonna go ahead and tell you guys a few things that we've been talking about. We're gonna have the potato cook-off. We're gonna have the venue there on Saturday, and some meet and greets on Friday. Different things, getting some drinks, scavenger hunt sort of stuff, maybe different things. We're gonna have my wife also might be bringing some Lord of the Rings plushies to this.
I hope she does.
I
rosy little cheeks, get them out there, baby.
Telling you, she did a Gandalf the other
day. That Gandalf, and
I didn't want to part ways with it, so.
Was that for someone else?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dang, dude. I thought maybe it would be like for Lucas or something.
A commission. Yeah.
Dang.
So cool. Like, she's working on that kind of stuff, and she's asking. It was actually an upper. Which is really cool.
Nice. That's really cool.
So I'm like, we'll do some of that at the Music and Arts Festival in Mount Vernon, and then she's going to bring some of that. We are talking to Max at Paragraphs, bless him. And this is all kind of just, we'll see. But the local merchants there may, not sure sort of thing.
Not for sure.
Maybe more involved.
We might have to edit some of this out. We might have to,
Not right. I just say maybe more involved. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes.
And that's a pretty big deal. So I can't say exactly what it is or what it will be or what it won't be, but it's, if it does go through and if it's similar to other events that they've had in
very
the downtown,
good. Nicely done. Yeah,
then it will
done.
Be a big deal. It will be really, really cool. So,
and something just, that could be, I just burped right to the microphone, and awesome. Something that could be almost kind of mutually beneficial, I think,
for sure,
people who are local or like in the state who would come to it.
Yeah.
That said thing, and also like people who are coming, all of you uppers who would come to LEP3, it would be something that would benefit both. So yeah, hopefully it's something that can continue to build momentum and become larger and bigger, because again, just from the concepts we heard, I was very excited. I know that you were thrilled too. It's something that I think would help just kind of augment everything, make it, I don't know, more important, more special, more kind of like widespread almost, and immersive. And all that being said, your RSV is important. So we have the link. We have like a QR code on our Instagram. If you go, it's pinned to the very top. If you go and you do your thing with that QR code, it will take you to a Google form that you can just fill out. You can put as much information in there as you want or none. I mean, if you want to let us know through Instagram DMs, that's fine too.
Yeah,
And a lot of you might not still know. That's another thing we were kind of talking about with Max, especially with some of the stuff where we know for sure we're doing with Paragraphs. In coordination with Paragraphs, he was like, how many people do you reckon are coming? And right now, it's kind of hard to say, which is fine. It's not a problem at all. But like, 40 to 50 confirmed. But
that's pretty awesome already.
That's what LEP2 was. I mean, it was like maybe 60, right? And so Ez and I were talking, and I'm like, dude, a lot of those people that we are figured into that aren't even including. Yeah, and aren't even including people we know for sure will come who probably won't RSVP. And so, it will just give a good heads up for people in Mount Vernon. It'll give the businesses there, like, what can they do to help support people who are coming in for LEP3, entertain, things like that. And then the really cool thing, too, that we can talk about for sure is we put it again in our Instagram. We put it in our stories. We'll post that again, but Max has done something amazing. Again, going above and beyond, he's created like a landing page on Paragraph's website for anyone coming to LEP3. So it's essentially he's just gone through and curated this list of like the finest Tolkien, like everything from individual books down to like a really exclusive box sets that are, you know, you could spend $30 on a book, you could spend almost $250, $300 on a box set. So there's a wide array of a selection there available. And so you can patronize our favorite local bookshop, especially if you're coming. They can also ship. I mean, they can ship things to you, no problem. But I think kind of the idea for this was you can order it and you'll pick it up at Paragraphs and have it there with you. And
yeah, you
know,
pre-order who knows
if you want to go. Yeah, you want to go read that weekend or you just want to say, hey, I got it from Paragraphs. That's awesome. Right. I'm getting one. I'm getting the one that's the Sir Gawain, the Green Knight, and Beowulf, and all those translations and commentary on ancient myths that's coming out that I'm really excited for. So there's all kinds of stuff. And again, like when you get it from Paragraphs, you've got the pleasure and honor of knowing that Max was involved. I mean, it really, he's amazing. And you go in there too, and he'll recommend other things that you never even thought about, or maybe you had thought about for a long time and you thought, yeah, you know, today's the day I'm going to get this book. Or he's an incredible human being, and it's a wonderful bookshop. Everyone who works there is so friendly and kind. It's like most small bookshops, but they're not around as much anymore, you know.
No,
they're harder and harder to find.
It's a hidden gem.
So it's a hidden gem, a diamond in the rough. And so go check that out. We'll post that link periodically, or again, it's in our camera roll, and lots of exciting things coming up, man. LEP3 is gonna be wild.
It's gonna be big. Yep. I had a few people ask me from I think it was Taylor from Texas or somebody asked me how many people are gonna be there, and I was like, well, I mean, now it's growing. So like when you asked me like 3-4 months ago, it's like, well, it's just initial kind of whatever, and now I'm like, more and more people are saying they're coming. So. Yeah. I actually am getting a little bit like, oh my God, this is going to be a big deal. So,
and we're only six months away.
Yeah. And then we've got the venue. It's a freaking sick venue with a huge park.
Guys.
It's beautiful. Yeah. I mean, you honestly, even if you just came for a weekend getaway, in and of itself, to find a small town and just had a little vacay like that, it's so awesome.
I was just going to say, even if you just came for the venue, even if you just came for Ariel Park, you wouldn't be disappointed.
And there's a market, by the way, there's like a local market. Yep. There will be Amish farmers there and local farmers there Saturday morning where you can feel like a real hobbit. It's right on the square. It's literally amazing. Right on the square. It's one of the, everyone, I mean, there's so many people there actually. It's amazing every Saturday. Yeah. There's so many cool things about it. So I really encourage folks to come out and just have a good weekend. Even if I was even saying to Lane, like, even if it's so big that, or it's in such a nice spot that even if you show up and you're kind of like, oh, I don't know if I want to go in or whatever, we would never know. You could just show up at the door, peek in. There will be people that are probably locals that are just like, oh, what's going on? And, you know, that's kind of a tie-in with what we were alluding to. This might be a little bit bigger thing than we think it might be. So anyways, there's just a lot to look forward to. And we might have microphones set up there for you guys to tell some Tolkien stories, get on the podcast, things like that, which we've done in the past. And I think you're going to have a good time. It's worth your while. So
yeah, I think so too. Yeah, we're going to have some giveaways. I've got like a tote full of stuff that are just begging to be given away.
We're going to do a little second age trivia just to set the record straight. That'd be kind of fun, right?
Yeah, it's hosted by some guy named Jimmy Pine and Damian Mackey or something like that. They're flying in from Los Angeles.
Yeah. Now, by the way, if you are a huge fan of the TV show,
please
come
here.
And we will give you a big old hug, and I will just say,
yes.
Wow.
You're welcome.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Anyways, seriously though, it's Lane and I, we're family guys. We just love having a good time. We're rascals, and
We are.
I don't think anybody's ever come over to your house or been around you or been around us and felt like, oh yeah, this is uncomfortable or they're whatever.
Just that's you. You're the only
just
one.
Just me. Yeah. I'm the only one. But it's
the only one who's ever felt that way.
I keep showing up. So it's like, you know.
You love, oh my you're God. A glutton for punishment. And so the other thing too, and we'll also, I think we're going to work on like some kind of small party favor. I mean, man, it was so cool. Do you remember for LEP 2 how Sarah, oh my God, she did like little, she wrapped up like little Sweet Annie bundles that people could take home.
Oh yeah.
And
Like
we had, I think she got like everyone mulled spices for like wine or cider that they could take, just little hobbity things. And we're still trying to figure out what we're going to do with food. I think we have a pretty cool creative idea that it's going to satisfy all parties. And we'll let you guys know, especially as we come closer to the date, like kind of what to expect. And again, still moving forward, still all patron, Patreon money, all patronage through Patreon.
Oh yeah. It's all going,
all going towards the party. 100% of it. We just got a new patron. Did you see that?
Yeah, for sure.
A couple in the last week. So that's really cool. So yeah, we thank you for that. That's big time. That'll help again, pay for the venue. It'll help supply food, favors, stuff like that. Goes right into the party. And then, the t-shirts. The t-shirts are going to be available. Yep. I was able to work with a local place here in Lancaster that does screen printing and embroidery and stuff, and they're the best. We've used them for our school orders in the past, and they have, you know, like many small screen printer shops have now, they've got like you can order online and then pick up in person. So what we can do is have it open for however much time, a window of time, probably do it for like a few weeks, a month in the summer. You can order it. I'll make sure I pick them up and have them labeled and all ready to go at the party, and you can pick up your exclusive party t-shirts, and we won't like print them again. We won't like sell them anywhere else. It'll just be for the party. So we'll have, it'll be exclusive. Well, a bunch of
exclusivity, buddy.
Exclusivity. And now, we'll just have it. Yeah.
Yeah.
No inner circle, though. There's no inner circle.
No inner circle.
No.
Are you sure?
Is that what you're going to say?
No.
Yeah, no, I'm positive.
Are you sure? Because I was about to say, there will be, I was just making this up on the spot. I just like to keep adding to the
God.
Thing. Like, I was thinking there will be a Friday night brew in the throat and a reading too. I'm joking, but I mean, I'm like, it'd be kind of fun to like just to do a drunken Tolkien reading, you know, for the inner circle.
Well, I mean, we were going to try and do something at Paragraphs that night, right? Friday night, possibly.
Yeah, we thought about, if Max is in town again, we'll see how I get a check
on his
wedding.
Yeah, he's getting married right before.
Man's getting married, so.
Dude's going to be super busy,
But we'll see. A couple ideas we'll bounce around there. But anyways, it's going to be fun. It's going to be awesome. So much, we'll get like an agenda for you guys and all that kind of stuff. But we'd love to meet you. We'd love to see you. And we've already got so many people coming from out of state that are confirmed, booked hotels and stuff. It's pretty awesome. So
it is really cool. Very exciting.
All right.
What did you want to talk about today, dude?
Let me tell you something.
Take me on a hunt. Am I in camo because we're going on a hunt?
Yeah, we're going on a hunt, my friend.
Got this blaze orange.
Where's he at? What's going on? So I'm going to read. Dude, actually, it's really fitting that you are wearing that. And that's your Aragorn, and that's your guy. Because,
he's,
I mean,
my dude,
that's what this is about, bro.
I know.
This is the hunt for Gollum.
I know.
There's only one chapter that you need to go read yourself. So when you're done here, you need to go look up Unfinished Tales. You need to pull up. Let me see exactly which chapter it is here. So I got it in front of me.
Lore Master. Let's go, Lore Master. Come on now.
Yeah, let me just get this bad boy up here. So this is chapter. What's in Roman
that
numerals?
Lore on us.
It's in Roman numerals, so as can't Which, really interpret it.
Read it to me. I'll tell you what
four.
It is.
I think it's IV, so that's four.
That's four.
Right?
Yes.
I'm just kidding.
Yes.
but
I took Latin, so I know. Okay.
Oh, so you okay? Got it. That makes sense.
2 years of it, actually. It's pretty good.
The Hunt for the Ring is what it's called.
Oh shoot!
So might be a little deceiving there, but I went and I did some, you know, just digging around, and I've listened to it multiple times. It's freaking wild. If Lane will just let me just sit back for a second, let me read to you just a couple of things here, okay? And I want you to think about what this movie could be. We've talked about it setting up with the Council of Elrond and flashbacks. Mm-hmm. We have our original characters, and they're going to take us back to this moment. And here we go. So this is what happened. All right, I'm going to give you a little summary of that chapter, but you got to go hear the chapter yourself. You got to go read the chapter yourself. But we have... In the year 3017, that's 3017, okay?
Yes, sir.
Gollum got himself captured. He yes, gets himself captured. Now, that's in the movie, right? So, I mean, like, extended edition, like, we see that, right, Lane? Mm-hmm. It is? Okay, good.
Captured by who? Are you talking about when he was captured by Aragorn and Gandalf? Or captured by Barad-dûr?
In Mordor. So, this is Sauron.
Yes, we Sauron do see that.
Yes. Has him captured, had him hauled off to you know, for questioning, for a bit of light questioning, okay?
Yeah.
Torment, if you will.
Yeah, 100%.
Shia, back in.
Yeah.
After squeezing out whatever info he could, which wasn't much, Sauron lets him go. Now, Sauron didn't trust Gollum. There was something stubborn and uncrushable about him. Halfling vibes, you know? But then he saw that Gollum really hated the ones who stole his precious. And he figured he'd go hunting them. So what he figured. He assumes he's going to go hunting them. So Sauron hoped to follow the breadcrumbs. Plot twist, Aragorn caught Gollum and brought him to northern Mirkwood. Right? This is what happened. This is lore, guys. I'm telling you what happened. Yes. Sauron then gets his goons, and they're on Gollum's trail, but they're unable to nab him. They can't get him. No can do, right?
Yep.
Sauron had pretty much ignored halflings, thought they were kind of irrelevant, right? Gollum didn't know much about the Shire, and he lied about what he did know. Even under torture, Gollum remained frustratingly unhelpful, which I think had to just really, really tick Sauron off, right? He's just...
Oh, yeah, dude.
That just shows you the power of the ring. That's like something Sauron...
Yes, it does. I was going to say they should have like had a beer together because they're in love with the same thing, honestly.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, here's I mean, so again, this is actually after I'm done reading it this way, I need to actually go read some of the actual text to you guys because it's nuts. Gollum shockingly grew to hate Sauron even more than he feared him. Think about that. This is the Dark Lord, the Dark Daddy of them all.
Yeah.
Sort of. Yeah. Well, I guess Morgoth is that guy. But kinda, anyway.
For the present time.
For this story, yeah. Yes. But to hate him more than he feared him, that's dude, wild. So
that is wild.
Yeah. And now here's the thing. He also kind of fakes knowing about the Shire and maybe where it is. And he says it's somewhere near the Gladden Fields. And Sauron buys it. Sauron buys that.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
This is crazy. Let me just read through some of this real quick, and I'll get into the actual text. But when Sauron heard Gollum is when he figures out that he's in enemy hands, he panics. But none of his usual spies could find the halfling homeland. Now, why is that? Because the Dúnedain were alert, and Saruman was kind of sabotaging Sauron's efforts and his spies. He's kind of like not letting them get a lot of intel. So, knowing Saruman was playing both sides, Sauron, he kind of simmered his plans. He kind of got a little quiet, drew in on himself a little bit. His power could not reach Isengard yet. So, he pretends to not notice that Saruman is playing both sides. The fact that I'm just saying this, you guys are saying, well, where did this come from? How do you know that? Well, I know it because he wrote it, dude. Like, he wrote this stuff, okay? Okay, so enough was enough, though. Sauron then decides he's going to send out his ringwraiths, his most terrifying, ultra-loyal servants. These guys, as we know, don't mess around, right?
Are you
only
frightened?
Oh.
Yes. Not nearly frightened enough.
Not frightened. Because they're that bad. They're that scary, dude. They are literally... Yeah. By the way, that's the biggest thing out of this whole thing, is the idea that this movie could bring back the ringwraiths. Like, that is in and of itself absolutely scary and more on a more intense level, I think. Because what these guys do, let me just do this Ez style. Let me just freeform this real quick, okay? Let me just blow a moment up here because I need to.
Yeah, please.
These are the baddest mofos in the land, okay?
Yeah.
Sauron could not find Gollum. He didn't know where he was. He's underestimated halflings. He has no idea where to go. He tries different things. He actually sends his orcs up to King Thranduil, and he tries to start war there. And then he says, you know what? Okay, I'm also going to send a couple of my ringwraiths. I'm going to send them to Gondor to start war with Boromir and Faramir, okay? And he does all of that as sort of this guise and distraction just to, one, try the defenses, see if he can shake a few things loose, figure out where Gollum's at, and then secretly, this is the problem with the Ringwraiths, he could only really trust them. His spies weren't getting through because of Saruman and Isengard and other factors. So he says, I need to send out my most, this is my ring. This is the one ring mm-hmm. we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. So he mm-hmm. decides, I've got to send out my most powerful lieutenants. I've got to send them into the field. He did not want mm-hmm. to. He did not want to. The problem with sending them out is that they are so terrifying. They are so scary. And mind you, Tolkien actually says that they are unclad and invisible when he sends yeah. them out. He actually wow. makes a point to say when they cross the River Anduin, I believe, they then acquire garb and horse. So they get garment, wow. right? And they then take a steed. I was like, what?
Wow.
So as they're moving across the land, they are in spirit form, sort of. They're invisible and unclad. And they are terrifying. That was the problem. As they moved out, secrecy was not their friend. They could not go yeah. secretly, right? So they have yeah. all these different problems. And I just want to give you a moment. They probably won't be able to do this. I really wish there was a way to do it with Saruman, right? Christopher Lee being gone. But my God, mm-hmm. the Ringwraiths show up, right? The Black Captain shows up at Isengard. He cannot penetrate. The gate is so sealed. It's the walls are so high. It's so fortified with magic and power that they cannot enter. And all they wow. can do is come to that gate, and their presence alone brings Saruman to it. He won't even go to the door. He knows better to step outside of that fortress. So he uses his voice, and the voice of Saruman issues from the gate, and he speaks with them. Like, just imagine that for a hot second, that you've wow, got dude. One
I
of the most...
I can see it in my head.
I mean, the most powerful... Yeah. One of the most powerful wizards in the land is speaking with the Black Riders. Like with Ringwraiths, right? With ancient kings, right? Wow. It's just wow. insane. And so,
yeah.
Let me actually pull that up here real quick. This is. Are you ready for this, dude? This is unbelievable.
Yeah.
So the Ringwraiths, therefore, no, hold on. Yeah, okay. So they get orders. They hear about these different things, and Sauron is basically like, enough's enough. I need...
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax... For a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
You guys have fooled around. You didn't figure out. They actually go up to the stores. They actually go up to where Gollum is originally from, where Sméagol is from, and they do find mm-hmm. a few, and they actually slaughter a few mm-hmm. of the stores that are there, run them into the wild. So again, there's so much in this one chapter that I'm just
yeah,
I have to go read the whole thing. But I'll read a little bit of it to you. The Ringwraiths, therefore, were ordered to go straight to Isengard. They rode then through Rohan in haste, and the terror of their passing was so great that many folk fled from their land and went wildly north and west, believing that war out of the east was coming on the heels of the Black Horses. 2 days after Gandalf had departed from Orthanc, the Lord of Morgul halted before the gate of Isengard. Then Saruman, already filled with wrath and fear by the escape of Gandalf, perceived the peril of standing between enemies, a known traitor to both. His dread was great, for his hope of deceiving Sauron, or at least of receiving his favor in victory, was utterly lost. Now, either he himself must gain the ring or come to ruin and torment. But he was wary and cunning still, and he had ordered Isengard against just such an evil. And so this is this part's nuts, dude.
God.
It's so crazy, because he's playing both sides here. He was once opposed to Sauron, right? So anyways, the circle of Isengard was too strong for even the Lord of Morgul and his company to assail without great force of war. Therefore, to his challenge and demands, he received only the answer of the voice of Saruman that spoke by some art as though it came from the gate itself.
Oh my gosh, here's what he says.
It is not a land that you look for, it said. I know what you seek, though you do not name it. I have it not, as surely its servants perceive without telling. For if I had it, then you would bow before me and call me Lord.
Whoa.
It's just freaking sick, dude. It's literally freaking sick. And if I knew where this thing was hid, I should not be here, but long gone before you take it. There is one only whom I guess to have this knowledge, Mithrandir, enemy of Sauron. And since it is but 2 days since he departed from Isengard, seek him nearby.
Now, oh my gosh. This leads to that battle at Weathertop, right? Eventually.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Remember that?
What he does here and where they sort of go from here, it's crazy. This is all still prior to Gandalf getting back. And you remember the book and movie are still slightly different, actually, and when Frodo and those guys take off and they're just sort of told to leave by a certain, time and stuff. Gandalf is nearby. He was there. This is so freaking nuts. They go seek him nearby, and they actually run into Wormtongue, who is on his way to and fro and reporting and
God, dude.
And so he is the one who gives them the freaking side by side this way, hang a left, hang a right on how to get to the Shire. He actually tells them how to get there. And so I was just looking up some of these actors and just thinking about this show and thinking about what they could do. And how cool it would be to track some of this and to track it from Gandalf's point of view and what all they could do with Aragorn and what else is happening that's not even written on these pages. Because, again, that's not a huge leap to say, where is Aragorn during all of this too, right? He's mentioned here and there. There's a little bit of, Christopher kind of narrates, he goes over some of the slight changes, some things that were really close, some similarities, some of the powers, some of the hindrances to the Black Riders, their fear of water. Which ones they're named? Some of the two of them are named for crying out loud. I didn't even know that. That was wild.
Kamul, and what's the other one? Yeah. I know.
Kamul is the one who he's like number two in charge. And I was like, dude, wow. So I mean, really, just a freaking sick chapter. I remember when I was just reading through this, I was like, what in the world? I mean, here's something interesting too. So such was still the power of the voice of Saruman that even the Lord of the Nazgul did not question what it said. So his voice is so powerful, and his way with words was such that the Lord of Nazgul did not question what it said, whether it was false or short of the truth, but straightway he rode from the gate and began to hunt for Gandalf and Rohan. And I mean, and this is where he comes across Grim Wormtongue, and he's talking to him. He actually perceives that Grima will one day do great harm to Saruman. He has that sort of perception that he spares his life. He spares his life because he realizes that he can almost foresee that, and he has this power.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
It's nuts. And there's so much more that we're not even going to get into all of it, but just a few
moments.
Dude, isn't
that wild?
Tidbits there, yeah.
Isn't that wild thinking about Saruman? You could also, I guess, maybe the ancient Numenorean architecture was a huge factor in the walls of Orthanc, but the power of his voice too,
right?
Just had command over the Witch King. But then he rides out, he sees Grima, who's would appear to be nothing special, and he knows that dude is gonna take out the guy who just held him like submissive.
That's
what I love about Tolkien. I love how Tolkien does this thing where it's like the least, the least expected individuals are the ones that turn the wheel, right? Are the ones that make these great, impactful things happen. And and like the fact that here's another crazy thing, like thinking about the war in the north, right? Is that the Witch King could have had intimate knowledge of where the Shire was. He was in the north fighting Arthedain. Mm-hmm. There were even Hobbit archers who mm-hmm. were a part of those armies in Fornost. When Fornost was destroyed, they weren't that far away from the Shire.
Right.
He could have easily found it and had that knowledge 1,000 years before this. But
yeah,
again, because of the hubris, because of them mm-hmm. overestimating themselves and underestimating everyone, all of their opponents, that wouldn't even have been a thought that would have crossed his head. But like the main servant of Sauron could have had this knowledge, and then it would have led to the, I mean, not, there would have been no hope then, right?
No, there would have been no hope. I mean, that's the whole point. He would have get straightway, they would have gone there. I mean, it's so fascinating how all the little events that lead up to this and all the little misdirections. I mean, one of the things too, that it even references prophecies in Gondor. There was word, like Gondor was close enough that Sauron had spies there that actually could get intel back to him about Boromir leaving and going to a great council.
Now that, my gosh, dude.
So I mean, it starts to make me get like kind of like the chills, because like I you think about it from like these different intelligences and spies
perspectives.
And forces. Yes, perspectives and moving. And a lot of it is from Sauron's perspective in this story.
Yes.
Sort of like what was he thinking about in terms of like his moves? Why did he send the Nazgul here instead of here? What was he trying to do with Gondor? There's so much more that you can tease out and pull out of that idea that there's these rumors that got to him, and they stir him and almost scare him. Prophecies and dreams, right? And Faramir and Boromir.
So is that, let me ask you, is that what you were kind of alluding to earlier? Is that like, this is the perspective they should take? This is the route? So the hunt for Gollum, we always think of it as Gandalf and Aragorn's hunt, but actually the viewpoint we should see this through that could almost kind of feel like a horror movie.
It would be
from the perspective of Sauron and the armies of Mordor,
which is totally different and totally because then you don't need every actor back. You can reference them and you could be like, ooh, you could be when he references Saruman and Isengard and they report back and said that the voice said, you know, and they're telling you what he said. You then don't need Christopher Lee necessarily, and you can kind of paint this. It would be a very clever way to incorporate everybody, and also whenever you can bring actors back and have them in 100%. I mean, the guy who played Denethor is still alive and he's doing conventions and cons and stuff, so like there's so many of them. I looked them all up to see who was all still around and could be involved in this, and there's so many people, and I would love for them to come back and do this like reunion and do as much of that as they could, because even just somebody being
but at the same time not
yeah
Yeah, at the same time, not make it the focus, right? Like you're presenting a way that it's almost like that to me, dude. Oh my gosh, I don't know if they'll have the courage to do what you're saying. But again, you've done two pitches. Yeah. You've done two pitches that I feel like I want that version or I want that version, and now it's going to make anything in between like more difficult because that's the play. That is the play. You literally show it from a perspective you've never explored before. The Dark Lords and characters have always been the cameos, right? They've always been like, had the briefest amount of screen time, the least amount of backstory, least development. And you could actually do it in a way, ironically, it's kind of, again, it would be doing better, doing the job better than Rings of Power is trying to do, where they're trying to like humanize Sauron. And instead of that, what you do is you show how like, gosh, how dark and conniving and how, bro, you're blowing my mind, man.
Well, the other thing is you do it through the Ringwraiths. You make them, because there's multiple moments where it says that they cowered in fear. They were fearful of sort of his backlash for not being able to find the Shire, and they mess up and they're called back. They're ordered to instantly go to Isengard. They almost kind of fear Isengard in a sense. They definitely have other things that hinder them. It's just like, it is a different perspective, and even not even just the Ringwraiths, but like spies. You think of like the Stranger in Bree, right? And sort of the spy that was there in Bree. And you grow that spy network, because that's all this talks about is spies and rumors and whispers and how they got back to the Dark Lord and those people showing up. He's seated on his throne, right? Or whatever, however you want to make him. Like, again, it's the eye, right? He's the eye. So it's also this like spirit, right? So it's it's totally different. It's totally different than...
Sorry, I keep interrupting. I'm just you're painting such vivid pictures. Like it totally plays on that like that vibe you get at the beginning of the Fellowship of the Ring. Like everything from when Gandalf comes back, keep it secret, keep it safe, until like they arrive in Rivendell. That whole tension you build
tension.
Up, the distrust, I remember watching that movie thinking like, I don't know what's gonna happen.
Oh, I
like
know.
I don't know if the bad guys win. Like I that literally was scary. It was terrifying, and even I think even people who knew what was happening probably felt a sense of dread and anxiety, mm-hmm. and yeah, to play on that and to lean into that, because again, it's thrilling in a way because we know what happens, right? But it's
yeah.
It almost and in a way as it almost makes the achievements of the forces of good that much more impactful and amazing. When you develop like this, it's like how the dark side is explored so much in Star Wars, right? You have a good, I feel like you have a really good grasp of like, okay, it's not just a cameo, it's not just an illusion. Like you get to really see these evil characters or characters who lean into, you know, what we perceive as the wrong side. And man, I never in a million years would have thought of that, man.
Let me show you another thing that's really cool that you could take this perspective and think about this and how maybe it would work. So whether this would be towards the end, but you could also play this up more and have more of the Dunedain around. But like night was waning on the 22nd day of September when drawing mm-hmm. together again, they came to Sarn Ford and the southernmost borders of the Shire. They found them guarded, for the rangers barred their way. But this was a task beyond the power of the Dunedain, and maybe it would still have proven so even if their captain, Aragorn, had been there with them. He was away to the north, upon the east road near Bree, and the hearts of even the Dunedain misgave them. Some fled northward, hoping to bear news to Aragorn, but they were pursued and slain, or driven away into the wild. Some still dared to bar the ford and held it while day lasted. But at night, the Lord of Morgul swept them away, and the Black Riders passed into the Shire.
My gosh, dude. So, again, here you've got... Okay. You don't need Aragorn.
No.
I can't believe I'm even saying it. You don't need Aragorn. What a beautiful opportunity to... A, build more lore and say, we didn't show it in the Lord of the Rings, but actually there were more Dunedain mm-hmm. and they were the bounders. They were the one, they were actually protecting and guarding the Shire. It wasn't just like just luck. Like it seems like in the original trilogy, there was a reason that the Shire was safe. Mm-hmm. You could develop like brand new characters that are like the kin of Aragorn.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh, dude.
It's insane. Wow. I as I was reading it and I was thinking of just like, dang, if this is what they're going to do, I everything seemed from the perspective of the Black Riders, and it was like, this is Sauron ordering his forces here. I thought it was going to go into more about like Thranduil and like the orcs and the fight up there in the wharf. That's a whole thing that you could blow up a moment. You could literally take that and that set, and you could go into all those details. You could go into the siege of Gondor that they start. They literally knock on Gondor's door and they say, we're coming for you. It's a feint. He's actually just trying to test their defensive. He knew he wasn't ready yet, but he wanted to draw his attention and pretend like he was focused on war when really he was secretly very desperately trying to find out about the One Ring. He thought that he had secrecy on his side, and then some of his spies bring him news that the wise know of that the One Ring is in play.
It
even brings up Galadriel. They're even talking about Galadriel and how the Ringwraiths they knew better. They still feared her ring and her realm and her, and that they skirted by it and they wouldn't even dare go there. Right. So that was another place they really would not go. There's so many cool things just buried in that little chapter that I'm like, oh my freaking god! Like if this is the show that they're gonna do. This is what you do. I mean, and the craziest thing is that like Amazon could have done this too.
Yep.
I mean, in a sense, they could have. Like, I mean, people are like, well, I don't have the rights to it, blah, blah, blah. No, come on. Like, are you telling me, like, this is, again, something that's referenced, the hunt for Gollum is referenced in the Council of Elrond. And so this is all part of that story. And so you can go back here and you have these notes. You can go tell some of this story. Otherwise, if you can't, then you can't. I don't know why you wouldn't be able to. Anyways,
Yeah, it's even referenced by another term in the original trilogy where he says, "I searched everywhere for the creature Gollum." When Gandalf is talking to Frodo, he doesn't say, "I hunted for Gollum," but you know, it's exactly, and he doesn't say, "Hey, Aragorn was with me," you know. But it's right. The same. That's what he's talking about, and like
exactly.
So there is that little gateway into,
yeah.
You know, this was one small reference that actually did happen. We changed it because we didn't want it to seem like 17 years went by, because that's not very, doesn't make mm-hmm. it seem very pressing and urgent. And dude,
but it's, as you so sold much you me, bro. Do. I right. It's,
is it too late for you to fly to New Zealand and pitch this to them and make sure that they do this movie? Because that's we started GoFundMe. What do we do here? How do we do this?
I don't know. I just hope they've considered it. I know they're very smart. They know. Dude. But I just hope they've considered some of this. Maybe not the whole thing from this perspective, but like you said, in Fellowship, what was one of the best parts? When it's chaos, dude, and they're running, and they're not, no one's talking. The tension is building. There's like, what, Frodo, what's going on? There's this like one or two worlds, like, you know, and then, I mean, Mary is like Buckleberry Fairy. Like, we don't know what's going on, but like, let's freaking go. I mean,
I was thinking to myself too, like the painting that you're like showing us, picture your painting, that's what I was trying to say, my God, is like you wouldn't have to rely on like tons of dialogue. You could build tension through like a scarcity of dialogue, or you could save it for moments that you did need it. I don't know. Yeah, like you said, it wouldn't have to be the whole two film narrative.
Yeah,
but you could dedicate a bunch of time, to this perspective, to this kind of
people like vibe up, dude.
Oh dude, it
cuz I know I would if I heard
amazing.
Yeah. Like dude, just to hear,
and it would satisfy all captain. Those people who all those people who are in love with the Ringwraiths, all those people who love Mordor, who always wanted more of it. I could tell you five people right now who I know would think this would be the coolest thing ever. And I mean, it would be, as much as I love Hobbits and want a Hobbit TV show, I would love this too, because again, it's a perfect foil. They're the opposite of Hobbits. They're exactly what make the Hobbits that much more heroic, as they overcame this, like there were no business going up against these guys. They had mm-hmm. no business. Mm-mm. And to show that, to build that even more, to show like how impressive they were. Cause I think sometimes the Ringwraiths got kind of done dirty in the trilogy. I really do. I feel like they're, you know, they get really close, but then they're kind of scared off, and the Bruinen sweeps them up, and you're like, oh, the water killed them. Wow, what?
Dude.
The water? They're afraid of fire? There's all these, they kind of, not dumb them down, but to a certain extent make them more like pawnish. And I think you could really build them up here and show, you know, we in the original trilogy, you saw, like, you didn't see the full story. And this is going to inform that more and show, that.
Let me.
What we saw is them kind of being thrown away was actually a great overcoming of.
For sure.
They're evil.
For sure. No, that's a really good way to put it, because, it did seem like, again, it was definitely still scary. It was definitely still intense and stuff like that. But you're like, they seem to get by them, and then you move on, and you move into, as you almost forget about them for a little bit in
the series. Because the Uruk-hai take over. It's like, Saruman's forces are the ones that you're scared of.
And in Two Towers, you definitely lose track of that. So you're like, you want to bring them back and show, and we already know how scary they are, but it's a big deal. The Hobbits were stealthy, man, and they had this nerve just to kind of push through, and they rose to the moment and got through. The other thing, would you be upset, like, as a Tolkien fan? I'm just going
to... Yeah.
I'll tell you, I'm not gonna be upset. But would you be upset if they embellished a little bit and they said, then they brought Glorfindel into this? And
dude, not at all. Why couldn't Glorfindel coexist in the same cinematic universe? He totally could. Just because he did. Well, I think Ez actually at the council, one of those elves is Glorfindel.
Is Glorfindel, for sure. For sure.
100% sure that there was a casted character who obviously didn't say anything. Maybe originally they were going to have... I think they just said it was too confusing and they needed an avenue for Arwen to be a main character.
Which is fine.
And that's great. That would be unreal, man.
Let me tell you. So when you read the books, and all of you guys know this, and you saw this when we had... I got an old t-shirt where I'm yelling Glorfindel's name. Because it is... Elrond knew... He knew that the nine were openly riding across the land.
Yeah.
And that they were seeking the one item that would restore their master and bring him straight back to full power and domination over Middle Earth. So he sends out his strongest, most powerful riders from Rivendell. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it, like cloaked in the light, like cloaked in power. And they had to, like, I imagine them like summoning whatever the juice that the elves have, and they're riding against the Black Riders.
The Miravir. It's the Miravir, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Sucking that down.
Yes.
My God. Yeah. But I just imagine, why would he not be? Why, if you know, if the wise know that you are searching for the ring, and these rumors are happening, and what he's out there. And I know that he is later definitely already sent out, but it makes sense too in this hunt for Gollum that he also might be involved early on. And then even as, because this chapter is called The Hunt for the Ring. See, they're hunting for the ring, whereas in the show we're going to get here, or the movie we're going to get, is The Hunt for Gollum, which is essentially the other side is hunting for the ring. And I feel like, it's all intermixed there, but God dang it, if they brought Glorfindel back into this bad boy,
dude,
you talk about a slap to ring. I mean, they would just, because Rings of Power should have freaking brought him in already, and they haven't.
Yeah, they should have.
And so,
I mean, why not have have Celeborn in on this movie as well, honestly? But I mean, like, so one of those things you're gonna, because I think the natural tendency, obviously, you want to have Viggo Mortensen as Aragorn. Okay, I don't know. I don't know if there's a way around that. I think, honestly, like what you just said with the other Dunedain Rangers, that's how you get around that.
Yeah.
You could maybe find a way to do like a brief cameo. I don't know if Viggo Mortensen is going to want to do it, actually. I've seen a lot of people saying he's confirmed. He's not officially confirmed. Yeah, he has not said he's going to do this. Just putting that out there as a Viggo representative, unofficially. Well, I am a Viggo representative. He's my son upstairs.
That's right.
But
that's
not Viggo Mortensen. So you could have the Dunedain as like a, you know, to scratch that itch, right? Another way you could scratch that itch of like having to bring back is you're going to want to bring back Legolas. I'm sure they're going to want to bring Orlando Bloom back, whatever. But what you just said right there scratches that itch. You don't need Legolas. You don't need to bring back Orlando Bloom. You cast someone new who will be a brand new like staple character as Glorfindel. You play up that character. You let him be the unworldly elf who comes in and does amazing things, right? Yeah. Sent back. Yeah, man. Oh my gosh.
I really believe if these actors really wanted to, you could start this whole thing from the Council of Elrond.
Yeah.
Like, I really think you could start
it
there.
You could.
And then you could have an older Aragorn, right? He could just kind of whatever, just he's there and de-age him for a little bit, just for a moment. De-age or even have their voices, even have voiceover where they're just telling their parts. And then flash to, if you want to recast and do some younger castings, that's also fine too. I don't think anybody's going to be opposed to that. No. So, and like you said, that they don't have to be the focus or the lead or the star of it. Yeah. Like it can be, it's a group. It's a group effort kind of going. And Gollum is, again, central to all of it, right? Gollum is the one running around and hides in Moria. Yeah. He ends up getting away from everybody and gets in the end of this. We'll get into Moria and they won't go there.
Another thing I'm thinking too, you're talking about the Saruman bit, right? And how Christopher Lee is no longer with us. But like the focus of that scene, that powerful scene, is his voice. I know they have tons of stuff. You think of War We're Hiram, the only reason he was in it was because they had just hours and hours of footage of his voice saying things. You could literally just have a body double that you would see from behind or from a distance, and then you could just have Christopher Lee's voice, and you could make that scene happen, and it would still be the Saruman that we know.
He'd just be at the gate, Lane. He doesn't even have to be in it. They could just be at the gate, and he could literally just say.
You could almost just make his voice coming out of the gate.
Yeah, since exactly.
He said like it sounded like it was emanating from that.
That's what it was.
Disembodied almost.
Yep.
Yeah. God. And that would show the power of his voice, you know?
Exactly. His sorcery and everything.
Jeez, cow.
Yeah.
Wow, man. So, I mean, this is just as...
It could be amazing.
I'm telling you, dude. I'm glad this is on record, though. I'm so glad, again, just like with Tolkien Untangled, I'm glad that this is something that you have a distinct vision for. You're inspired by the lore. Like, I'm sitting here right now. I'm like, bro, if you gave me a movie ticket to go watch what you're saying...
I know.
I'm in. I would go leave my house right now. I'd be like, Sarah, I have to go disappear for 3 hours. I'll be back. Don't worry. I would, It's perfect. It is perfect. Yeah. Yeah. So I hope that they're thinking of this too, but who knows, man? I mean, honestly.
So what are Elrond's sons' names again? Elrohir.
Elrohir and Eladin. Yeah, Eladin, and you could have them. Oh my gosh, dude.
So I'm sitting over here like there's so many things that I hope that they're just brainstorming and talking about.
Yeah.
And bringing characters that are there that we literally like have interactions with, and we if you read the books they're so just that'd be freaking sick, man. It'd be freaking sick.
What kind of could you work any dwarves into this too?
Oh man, well I mean. You know, something I was thinking about with Glorfindel is that, like, why won't they finish the chase? And it's from the perspective of the Ringwraiths. Like, they won't, they sort of know that he goes to Moria and they won't go in there. And why? The Balrog. Who else wouldn't go there? Glorfindel's already faced one. He won't go there either. And so it makes that Gandalf moment even more powerful when you have absolute desperation to say, we have the one ring, let the ring bearer decide. And Gandalf knows this is my end. He knew before he ever went that this would be his final fight. But he must do it because it is the only way. It is the only way to get the ring through. And it's you go in the direction that no one else will go. The Ringwraiths wouldn't go in there. Glorfindel wouldn't go in there. No one would go. And so you bring in some dwarves or whatever. They're out in the woods, maybe rumored. No, we don't go there. They're talking a little bit. They see, you know, there's this moment where there's like, they're, you know, I don't know, that somehow we come across a few of them mining or something. I don't know. And they talk about the lore and some of the rumors surrounding it. And they're like, yeah, we're not going there because we know what they woke up. I mean, it's just, come on. That would be sick. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, this is incredible.
Anyway, I hope folks, you know, send us a message, DM, see what you guys think. I mean, if anybody knows and has any connections and want to slip this over to old Andy Serkis and those guys, they know what they're doing. I'm sure it's going to be amazing. But
Jake has a friend who has a friend.
Jake, if you want to, just tell him. I mean, I could
spitball
ideas.
Andy Serkis' daughter.
Okay. I could be. So. Listen, Jake, please, because it's so important. I want them to knock this out of the park. I want this to be Tolkien. I want this to feel and there's room to embellish a little bit here because again we know Peter Jackson did that. We understand you have to do you have to do some of those things, right? The grievances we have with Rings of Power are completely different because that it crossed too many lines. It doesn't pay homage to Tolkien's work. We're not going to go down that path, but we understand you have to do things. People would be like, well, Glorfindel is not. No, Tolkien never said. Yeah, got it. But he's around, and he did ride forth against the Black Riders.
Damn, dude. You were going to drop some Tolkien knowledge on me, and
I love it, right?
I can't even bear it. I can't even, lift it. I can't stand up on my chair. We're going to get done here. I'm just going to have to sit here in silence.
Just sit,
good old-fashioned sit in silence, dude, Tolkien style.
It just makes me think of when we first started the podcast and when we did Fellowship. What was I so excited about? The Black Riders and all of that Glorfindel biz and all that stuff. It's just the beginning of that adventure. And I can remember when we begun the podcast that way. It just, bring that back, man. It just feels like there's so many cool things that can be done with this show. And I'm so amped for it. But
I am too. And I hope they do something like that. I hope they're bold with leaning into Tolkien and trying to do something new instead of just like I'm afraid what will happen is they'll like lean into the tropes and they'll lean into, you know, what's worked in the past and they'll rely on because I mean the problem with how good those movies are is Viggo is a legend, Ian is a legend, you know, Andy Serkis is a these guys are legends, you want to the natural inclination is just go, well, we're just going to make them the main characters. We're going to use technology to make them look younger because it's been 25 years. But I think the idea that you're pitching is you have a real opportunity, not a contrived way to build up brand new legends. Like finally casting someone as Glorfindel, finally seeing the sons of Elrond, like the brothers of Arwen. Finally getting some other Dúnedain, right? Something that could be just as powerful. And then, bring back Brad Dourif as Grima because he sure. probably wouldn't even look that different. Like, you could yeah. have that. You could yeah. have the voice of Christopher Lee, even if it was something like, maybe you don't have the exact phrasing. You manufacture it, and it would still be powerful.
Oh, yeah.
Ring wraiths
oh,
yeah. don't matter because they look the same now as they did then. Like,
exactly.
there are so many. Yes, yeah, I am.
And you've got the eye. You've got Sauron more kind of just like people reporting, yep. cowering before him.
Yes.
You know, that sort of.
You can raise up some new orc generals, right? Like yeah. some of these. Mm-hmm. And that's totally made up because there's.
And some of them that are just killed on the spot because of the information that came back was bad, you know, like just. God, just stuff
man.
That
I mean, you could even yeah, dude, you could even work in some like lesser characters in Rohan. You could find some, I don't know, because I mean, like what something small, like when the Black Riders cross over, it's stolen horses from the Rohirrim that they take.
Here's one.
Those are yeah. the steeds they ride on, and they're tortured, or like no, I'm sorry, those are tributes to Mordor. But anyway, there's a connection
to
Rohan there too. That's like mm-hmm. just this infiltration of every other culture except the Shire, and eventually yeah. even then yeah but
when again they're riding across all these different, they go to the Gladden Fields, then they go here, then they go yeah. here, and yeah. they move across the land, and there's a lot going on, you know. One yeah. and I haven't even focused on it, but like where they take Gollum eventually and where Aragorn gets him is like King Thranduil and Legolas yeah. and his whole
yep.
realm
yep.
the other
yep.
one that would blow people away is Tariel. And I know people
oh,
are like,
man.
Like okay, I don't know, man. Go. She's made up, but she's already in The Hobbit. She
she's already,
already
there.
Is yeah. a cinematic character that's pretty yeah. freaking awesome. Bring yeah. her back, bro. Why would she yep. not be in this? Tariel
that's
should
true.
Be in The Hunt for Gollum, no doubt. And I think people you know, are like,
that,
oh,
that
my
would,
God. No, that would be no. so freaking cool. I hope Peter Jackson yeah. doesn't think that, or that his Andy Serkis and those guys think that because there was some little bit of backlash. No, it grows on you. The Hobbit yeah. films have grown on people, and they are good, and they are standing the test of time. They are actually yeah. really embedded in good things, and they're good. They're a part of this cinematic universe that we freaking
yeah,
love. So she is
they
a part
are,
of that. So.
Yeah, and you could really, I mean, you could have a chance too to kind of, I mean, yeah, you could really develop her character too. That's a great idea. And then maybe you don't lean so much into like bringing Orlando Bloom back. I don't know. I mean, I guess you could. I don't know. That would
right.
be, yeah, that'd be another elf that you could focus on. And you could have Thranduil back. You could have Lee Pace come back and be Thranduil. That would be, man.
So let me ask
wow.
you, here's yeah. another one. And I believe he's still alive. Yeah. Are you ready for this? This might go blow your mind. I hope he's still alive. Sylvester McCoy. Is he still alive?
Oh, with Radagast, I'm sure, as far as I know. Yep, bring him in, baby.
Now listen to me.
Let's go.
Like
he helped,
that,
didn't he? Wasn't he a part of this
dude,
as
here's
much as he
thing.
Could?
Well, exactly. And there's a moment where he kind of has a conversation with I think Saruman, and he ends up like not knowing that Saruman is trying to kidnap, you know, Gandalf and the whole thing. But
yeah.
even prior to that, like having Radagast be a part of some of this spy network and telling information and just passing things on. And you know,
yeah.
again, you think of the realm and you think of Mirkwood and the forest that he was trying to heal and what he was trying to
yeah.
do there with his forest
yeah.
work, right? And he's near Dol Guldur. By the way, all of this Hunt for the Ring chapter and the Unfinished Tales is about, like, it starts off with Dol Guldur. And sending them up there to kind of occupy that and to figure out where Gollum is at. So
man.
It would be interesting if he sort of warned, hey, they've reoccupied Dol Guldur, right? Like he did originally
wow.
in The Hobbit. Again, so he's like letting
yeah.
them know Gandalf, they're back, or King Thranduil, whoever, Aragorn, they're back. He's a freaking wizard, dude. Like, I'm just saying that there are things
yeah.
that you could do. Well, and that's not Tolkien, you didn't, but look, if this fandom is going to believe the things that are going on in Rings of Power, you sure as heck
yeah.
can believe that Glorfindel is going to be in this, that Tariel is in this, that
yeah.
Radagast is in this. You could believe those things. So I'm just saying,
yeah.
like, I know it's spitballing and we're just sort of speculating here and having fun, but man, I think it's so cool to think about those characters being in a show like this. So,
oh, absolutely,
yeah.
man.
But
yeah.
anyways.
I mean, you've this is a masterclass
away.
Right here, buddy. Yeah,
getting
I
away.
Mean, I'm
but
not blowing
hey.
Smoke either. That's again, you just nailed another way. Again, when I think about these movies, I do get kind of skeptical. I'm like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, because my mind goes to, you're going to lean fully into Gollum, and it's going to be like this kind of weird tribute film to his split personality. And there is definitely a group of people who would want that, I think. There's
yeah,
a lot of
yeah.
people who love Gollum obsessively. I'm just
yeah.
not one of them. And I don't think it's most fans. But
yeah.
So I kind of get stunted by that concept. Yeah, I can't really think beyond that. I'm like, I don't know. What are we going to do here? What are we going to do? And like, my man Vigo's old. I don't know if Ian McKellen's going to make it. Like, I mean, he's going to get down. He's going to film his stuff in London. He's going to have to be, you know.
I think Through Gollum's Eyes is also a fine thing to do for most of it, and kind of have him and maybe somebody else. You gotta have two people kind of going back and forth and being those center points, but you've got to have these other things around it. You've got to have some of that fear and tension factor with the Black Riders and the Ring Wraiths. You just have to, and because this is all part of that story, and there's big players involved in that time period. And Tolkien literally penciled down some things happening there.
I think it has a, like what you've just pitched has a real opportunity to inform the original trilogy, which is so exciting, and that's what you would hope for. You would hope that this would be something that complements that and just makes it stronger, and but at the same time tries to be its own thing. Yeah,
just to be clear, I know there is a big, I've been talking about these things like they're kind of like all one event, all packed together. This really is a chat. This is spread out over time. There's actually, this didn't happen all in like a week or something either. Too. No. So I am aware of that, and I know you can actually single in on one moment, and it's just this search and actual hunt for Gollum. If you wanted to do that, I've kind of elaborated this and taken it much further than probably they wanted to go with the whole hunt for the ring and going leading it right up to the door of the Shire. But I they might not go that far, so I just wanted to kind of.
If you're spending two films on it, I guess that's the other thing too. We don't know for sure if they are, because there's all kinds of rumors. They haven't even written a script yet either. Like that's the other thing. That's confirmed. Yeah. Script's not done, so I think they're in the process of it. But if you did do, if it wasn't like a Gollum Hunt for Gollum movie and another like standalone, if it was a two film arc, then you could totally. I think even in one film arc, you could, and then, 17 years, right? It's a long time, but you could also approach it in the way you approach that 17-year gap in The Lord of the Rings, where, you don't address time. Like, you don't have to say, well, this happened and 5 years later we did this, and you don't have to timestamp it like might be a temptation. You could literally just have it just this flowing series of events that would, you wouldn't need to know how long it took, right? Wouldn't be the point of it. The point would be that these things happened and they're incredibly exciting. And they're interesting and terrifying and suspenseful. And
and in the film they did that, right? They kind of glossed over that it was that long of a gap, and you don't really know how long.
It seems like it's a couple months. You're like, or weeks. You're like, wow, Gandalf left. He went and read in that library. We don't even know it's Minas Tirith. And then you come back and it's like, hey, all right. A couple weeks went by. We're still partying in the Shire. It feels like it's still the same season. They did it cleverly so that they didn't tell you 17 years went by, but they also didn't tell you that 17 years went by. And I think that's the way to do it.
I think I just wanted to acknowledge that, like, if Andy Serkis and those guys and their team decide we're going to narrow in on one moment and tell one isolated single story, that's also like fine. I do get that you could actually blow up the moment of the search and have obstacles and things that get in your way and trying to find him and Aragorn getting him and all that, and that battle, that the actual search that happens years prior to all of the following the Black Riders all the way up into the Shire, which is a lot to maybe cover. But still, the Black Riders are an important part of that early on process in the hunt for Gollum. So there you go. So anyway, just wanted to make that clear. So, because I know I kind of went a little crazy with all of the hunting for the ring stuff, but I mean, it's just things to consider and possibilities and how far do they want to take it? How big of a story do they want to tell, kind of thing. So
I loved it, dude. I'm in for the ride. Buckle me up, Dottie.
Buckle us in. Let's go. Lonely Rider, Bucket 5. Get him a ticket. Come on, son. Let's go. All right. Hey, listen, we love you guys. Let us know what you think. Yeah. Thank you guys for supporting the podcast over the years. We appreciate you guys. I'm getting kind of sentimental. My son might be, this could be hours away. I don't know where we're
He's
at.
He's crowning
this
right now upstairs.
Like, I hear her walking around. Speaking of kings. So it's like past midnight. So I'm sort of like, oh God, I need to like get off here and go figure this out. No.
You got to be on watch.
Got to be on watch. So anyways, I'm going to get these episodes up though for you guys. This is going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. Check out Concerning Hobbits, by the way. I posted that earlier this week. That was on Tuesday within the next 2 hours. So I'm gonna post it. I'm gonna drop that episode that we just did, Lane. Not this one, but the one before. I'm gonna drop that at 3:33 as well. So
Dang, boy. Let's
go. Some continuity. Awesome, some continuity. Man. All right. Yeah, hey, we love you guys. Appreciate you guys. Yeah. Yep. And as always, remember, don't forget the sniffing.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.